So, hey, welcome to the Flophouse. Now, normally here on this podcast, we talk about movies, usually bad ones, that we've watched, and we give like a cheeky little review and have some laughs.
Yep.
But we're doing something a little different tonight. That's right, you have tuned into a Flophouse mini episode, which means it's probably going to still be like an hour long. I'm your host tonight, Stuart Wellington, and joining me for this very special episode are my co-hosts...
Dan McCoy...
Uh-huh. And Elliot Kalin, no lack of confidence about my name.
Well, I was just waiting to see who would go first, and yet I seem to still pick up on my cue faster than you did. So,
Dan, you're the one who goes first. You're the lead. If this was the Three Amigos, yeah. You'd be whichever one of those guys was the leader. Steve Martin, I'm guessing, or no, probably Chevy Chase.
Now,
he's the bossiest.
This raises a good point, which is now Stewart's in the driver's seat this time around, so.
Sure.
Don't be mistaken by me butting in, but this is the second Flophouse recording in the last couple weeks, and I had very bad hay fever the last time, and then I was fine, and now I have a big attack today again. So as I was saying to Elliot off microphone, I'm probably allergic to the podcast. That's fine. You know, like, I have to live with it.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
my cross to bear. But I took some new allergy medicine today. Uh-huh. So the energy I'm going to be bringing is new allergy medicine, side effects unknown. So I just want to...
But the thing is, your new allergy medicine is cocaine. So I think we're going to see something a little interesting in terms of your energy levels.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. You might think that all the sniffing...
You got Josh Gondelman powder there.
Yeah, he got a prescription from Dr. Gondelman for 30 cc's of Josh powder.
Dr. G.
Bolivian laughing powder, yeah. Okay,
now,
so...
For people who are not on Twitter all the time and just know the very nice Josh Gondelman from appearing on our show, let us be clear that...
That's what he's best known for.
A bit that our friend Matt Koff started, one of the other writers at The Daily Show, asking people... If he should try cocaine, ironically, he was never going to try the cocaine. Let's make that clear. But asking a lot, somehow detached from him and parasitically attached itself to Josh Gondelman, and now the Twitter bit is that Josh Gondelman, a very nice man who, to my knowledge, does not constantly engage or ever in cocaine, is known as Twitter's number one cocaine fiend.
He's the white line demon. So as I mentioned, normally we talk about a movie, usually a bad one, but tonight we're going to do a little thing that I like to call, that's right, two boy talking tube to two dudes tonight. That's right.
Wait, hold on. Stuart.
I love it. It made perfect sense. That was perfectly clear and coherent. I know exactly what it is.
One more time. Maybe slower and clearer.
I mean, normally I would just assume that our listeners, being tech-savvy coolios, will just go and then play it at super slow speed so they can hear all the little Easter eggs.
there's a listener.
But you are also the man. Let's just say he has the same confidence in the listener's technical ability as he had in the podcast search engine ability to find a podcast called Till Deaf Do We Party, the hardest to spell Def Leppard podcast title in the history of audio entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the second hardest to spell Def Leppard podcast in the history of podcasts. So, this is an episode of the show that I like to call Two Boy Talking Tube to Two Dudes Tonight. That's right. Two Boy, of course, being me, Stuart Wellington. And Talking Tube means that instead of talking about movies, guys, we're going to talk about the small screen and what we're watching on it. And Two Dudes, well, that's you guys. And tonight, well, we're recording at night. That's right.
Wait, why are you... Did you say Stew Boy or Two Boy?
Tube. Okay, now...
Tube,
we're
right?
Getting,
Stuart.
Well, no, it's... I got to correct you both. You're both incorrect. It's Two Boy because I... when I was a kid, I had difficulty pronouncing the S at the beginning of my name, so I would say that my name was Tuart, And my father thought it was very funny to make fun of that, so he would call me Two Boy instead.
Okay, well,
that would be okay, his like nickname.
So,
for me.
Stuart, so we'll talk about that off air. But
I owe.
I mean,
Dan
we can if we could talk about it on air, but I think right now we're focusing on talking about the small screen. That's
well,
right.
First, I want to butt in. I owe Dan an apology. I thought that Stuart was calling himself Tube Boy, playing off of his famous character Tube Man from the Psycho Gorman feature film franchise, and I thought that Dan not getting that was being foolish, but if it's Two Boy, a reference to a childhood nickname for Stuart that I have never
heard
neither
of us
before,
are familiar
then
with.
I have to owe Dan an apology. You're right. We need an explanation. That title made no sense until now.
So I'm glad we finally got
the annotated version. I was ready to let Stu just kind of bust through it and not explain it. Thank you, Dan. Yeah. I appreciate it. I apologize.
You know what, Elliot,
well, that's the thing. Like the
thank you for being the bigger man.
My podcasting, guys. My podcasting is similar to some of the near future speculative fiction of William Gibson, where he just starts writing and you got to follow along and assume you know that he knows what he's talking about. So, as I said, we're talking about TV, the new movies, etc. So we're going to be talking about the TV that we're watching. That's right, us, the Flophouse. And I am taking I have plenty of segments. There's going to be scoring involved. I hope you're all very excited.
Okay. Scoring like music or scoring like there's carbon scoring on this droid that I bought.
It's actually a third type of scoring, Elliot.
Oh,
I think I'm
sex.
Glad that you brought up the first two. Yep. Yep. Well, in a way, it's the sex of scoring points. And so there will be points awarded, and in honor of what I think you have told me in confidence is your favorite of the awards programs, the Golden Globes, I've broken the television categories down into a couple different categories here. So the first one we're going to talk about...
Wait, I hear that police siren. It's arresting you for implying that either of us respects the Golden Globes.
We're going to be talking about dramas. So, Dan... What kind of dramas are you watching lately?
Okay. I wasn't aware that...
Now, Dan, remember, he is scoring you on this.
I wasn't aware that, that I was supposed to come bearing this information.
You guys didn't get the email I sent you explaining what we're doing on Two Boy Talking Tube to Two Dudes Tonight? That's right.
You know what? I think the only dramas...
Okay, what? Dan... Okay. Dan, I'm going to take the pressure off you. I'm going to give you an example of how you're supposed to do this. So I'll say, hey, so Charlene and I, follow along. It's cool. So Charlene and I have been doing a Sopranos rewatch. We're like, I think about halfway through season two, and you know, it's fun. We're enjoying it. I haven't watched it since it first came out, and certainly since before I moved to New York. So that adds a whole new layer to like Sopranos-ness. Although it did make me look up on the internet what Sopranos character are you based on your zodiac sign? And of course, I'm fucking Christopher Maltasanti.
I could have told you that, buddy. I could have told you you're Christopher all the way.
Yeah, I know. It's written on my face. That is the show that I have been watching. I now have to rate it. So you guys are going to have to do the same thing. I'm going to have to rate it. Is it A? I hope you're taking notes. I said it. This was all in the email I sent you.
No.
Was it A? Very compelling. B? Am I not ready for a commitment with this drama? Or C? This is just background noise. And I'm going to say, you know what, The Sopranos, you're very compelling.
Oh, so that's the way.
All right. So
that was an example of the way I'm supposed to do it. I'm supposed to I'm just supposed to mention that I've been watching a show, not really say anything about the show, maybe digress into something else, and then
You're supposed to rate it pretty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, following that form as precisely as I can, then...
Only a gamester like Stuart could come up with a competition so intuitive that it's just you instantly know how to play it. The interface, the gameplay mechanics, they trip off the tongue.
I watched The Flight Attendant on HBO Max, which I suppose is more of a dramedy, sort of a thriller with drama and comedy elements.
No, Dan, that's a camel with one hump.
Yep. We watched it.
Actually, Dan, I checked it. We'll count it as a drum. Thank it counts you. As a drum.
So I watched that.
Wait, Dan, how long is it? Is it 1 hour long or 30 minutes long?
Well, you know, it's direct to streaming, so I would say it's 45 minutes long.
Ooh, dramedy length. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Halfway between 30 minutes comedy length and an hour drama length. Yeah.
They didn't take advantage of the time to make it a full hour.
I hate to interrupt you, Dan, but I'm going to have to chime in here. I also watched that show, so I get a point for also watching it. Okay, continue.
Okay, that's how it works. All right. to sort of digress.
This is like playing every game my son has made up is like this, where he's just coming up with reasons why he gets points. And I'm like, I didn't know that. Okay.
Digress to like sort of a personal like note about it, I guess you know, the star Kaley Cuoco, Audrey and I watched all of the Harley Quinn show and thought she was very good on it. We've really come around on her. Think she's a really funny actor, and I give it
very compelling. The show. Are you not ready? Yep, very compelling. Yeah, you married the show. Yeah,
no, I liked
it a
lot.
Do you think she has some kind of development? Does she have like a development deal with HBO? Is that how between Flight Attendant and Harley Quinn? Like,
It's possible because I just remember I actually listened to she was on the Conan O'Brien podcast. Let's throw some publicity to the podcast that's huge and massive and much bigger than ours.
Sure,
but she was on that and she said that she acquired the source material of that. The Flight Attendant just. She saw the cover of the book and was like, something about this compels me, and had them acquire it.
Yeah.
And she didn't actually really know all about what it was about. And so that suggests that maybe she was the person who put it in development. Yes.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit like Alex Garland and Annihilation, but whatever. That sounds cool.
And Alejandro and Jodorowsky and Dune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Dan, I forgot. There's one more step to this process.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. What
you now, one thing.
Do I get a dunk tank or something?
Oh, no. You need to perform an impression of one of the characters on the show.
Oh, man. Of that show?
Yes, on specifically The Flight Attendant, the show that you rated very compelling.
Ooh. There's the one.
Dan's working through his characters.
I mean, I haven't seen The Flight Attendant. Is there a character that sounds like this? Like a character who's kind of not sure what to say and is just kind of like figuring it out loud?
I'll be the, hey, I'm the FBI agent who's wrong about everything, but I'm confident about being wrong about everything because I'm a dude. How about that? Wait.
Okay. And see now, Elliot. Now you now have to. You're gonna have to rank. You're gonna have to rank Dan's performance. Is he
okay.
A chameleon? B a body snatcher? Or C Madame Tussaud?
Okay. So they're a little different in that Madame Tussaud. I assume you mean like lifeless, like a wax dummy. Not that he has the ability to craft copies.
Yeah.
like
yeah,
lifeless copies.
Of course, dude. What's wrong with you?
Just double checking. Okay, then I'm gonna go with I'm gonna say a chameleon. I didn't quite believe I was watching this character from a show I haven't seen, but I did believe that Dan had seen it.
Uh-huh. Well, isn't that the goal of great acting? To convince you that I saw a show that I said I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Let me put a point down for Dan. Okay, great. So, Elliot, I think it's your turn to talk about a drama. Give me a drama. What drama are you watching?
I'm watching one of them is an HBO drama, but you already mentioned that one, so I'll set it aside. We're rewatching an old HBO drama, but a show.
Oh,
that
so you
wife,
get a point for also watching it? Okay, let
oh,
me
great,
mark that.
Thank
out.
You. A drama that my wife was a big fan of that I never watched is one Downtown Abbey, which is the story of, you know, the downtown art scene in an old British house. And
starring Downtown Julie Brown.
Starring Downtown Julie Brown, not Julie Brown, the American Julie Brown, Downtown Julie Brown, the British Julie Brown. Not Earth Girls Are Easy Julie Brown. And I had never watched Downtown Abbey before because two reasons. One, I was worried it was I would had watched a later episode and I didn't know the characters and I couldn't get into it. And two, I do not like the video format that British television shows use. I'm sorry. I don't like the video the way it looks. It's just a peccadillo of mine. But we started watching it from the beginning, and now I'm really getting into it, and I want to see it. We're very early in the first season, so I'm like, is Thomas going to get Bates fired? I know he's not going to get Bates fired, but I don't like. I'm always like, ooh, Thomas, what are you doing? And so that's what we're watching right now, and I'm finding it compelling. I want to find out whether Bates is going to get blamed for Thomas stealing the wine.
That's great. Now, Elliot, of course, you know the next step of this process since you've already nailed the rating process. Mm-hmm. Give us an impression of one of the characters of Downton Abbey.
Now, this is very personal to me. I'm going to do an impression of Old Lady Downton, as played by Maggie Smith, because she reminds me a lot of my late grandmother who passed a couple years ago, not in terms of being a rich, snooty person. My late grandmother was kind of the socialist Jewish version of this character. And so, if I will, I'll try to disappear as much as I can into Maggie Smith's character of Lady Dowager Downton, Crowley, mm-hmm. whatever their name is. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
And scene. Okay, Dan, you're going to have to rank this. Oh. Is Elliot a chameleon, a body snatcher, or Madame Tussauds?
Well, okay. I will say that I'm not sure if I believe with the improvisation he did. Because I think that that character, if I recall accurately, is more of a sort of a withering remark character and less of a monocle uh-huh. get shattered sort.
No. She was about to let loose with a withering remark, but I figured, hey, brevity is the soul of Maggie Smith. Let me just not overload everybody the way you did with a very long description of the character, much in the way the character would never actually say in a scene.
That's true.
But if you'd like, I could do one of those. I'm an old-fashioned dowager, and I don't like all these modern things. Oh, dear. And this is, if you're going to look like that, then perhaps we should all die in a revolution. Well, I never. That kind of stuff.
You know,
That's great.
So this is the tough thing. I was like, Elliot's making a good point. I was going to bump his grade up. And then he started making fun of me. And I was tempted to bump his grade back down, but then,
this is the test of a true judge.
Here's
Dan.
The thing: through therapy, I've realized that when presented with one of my own shortcomings, I shouldn't lash out in anger at the person who presents it to me. I should listen to them and hear what mm-hmm. they're saying. And Elliot, that was a fair criticism of my impression, so I give you whatever the highest bullshit rating there is.
Oh, thank you, Dan. You know what?
You are also a chameleon.
Yeah,
okay,
that's great.
Chameleon.
Okay, guys. So you know what follows drama? Of course, that's comedies, and we're gonna do a snake draft on this one. So that means Elliot, you're back up again. What comedies are you watching right now, buddy? What makes you laugh?
I watched the first episode of The Great North, and I laughed a bunch of times at that.
What's the deal there? What's The Great North?
That's a new Fox animated show. It's a family that's in Alaska.
Oh, right.
And they live in Alaska, and they are relentlessly upbeat and positive.
Well, you're working on a animated show, right? Were you watching that for like research purposes or
merely because I enjoy animated comedy? Actually, that's a good point. Housebroken, they just announced it's going to start its premiere May 31st. That's the show I've been working on, also on Fox. So if you want a show about dogs, that's the show to watch because it's about dogs.
That or the Westminster Dog Show, and that only happens once a year.
It's the Puppy Bowl again, an annual event. So if you want dogs, you are shit up a creek if you don't watch this show. Great North. Yeah, it was funny. But uh-huh. I haven't been watching that many other television comedies lately, although I should watch more of them because I live to laugh.
Uh-huh. Now, Elliot, would you describe The Great North? Would you say it is chock full of nuts? Would you say it made you crack a smile, or did it take you to frown town?
Oh, no. I think it's certainly chock full of nuts. These are some very talented people working on the show, very talented voice actors and writers and animators. There's a lot of laughs. If you like to laugh, you could do worse.
Now, it sounds like you've only watched one episode, so this next part's going to be a bit of a challenge. But, Elliot, give us an impression of your favorite character from that show.
I mean, there was a moose in the show very briefly. I don't know if it's going to be a recurring character, but but you know me, I've always loved megafauna, and so it's hard for me not to immediately choose that as my favorite. We have so many lost megafauna, you know, and there was that big die-off about 40 to 60,000 years ago or so, and it really bothers me that we don't have elephants on every continent. So seeing
that
this
was,
majestic...
That was caused by Craven the Hunter, right?
Yes, exactly. Sergei Kravinov, I believe is his name. He was the world's greatest hunter, and he just went around killing all those megafauna until he eventually set his sights on the greatest game, Spider-Man. Specifically, Spider-Man Maximum Carnage for the Super Nintendo. That was the greatest game. Now, so I guess I'm going to do an impression of that moose, which goes like this.
Okay, Dan, give me your hot take on this one. Chameleon Body Snatcher or Madame Tussaud?
Oh, boy. You know what? Like, the problem here is really that I have very little sense of what a moose sounds like. You know, so I don't know whether there's a strategy on Elliot's part. You know, I'm going to pick a character that Dan cannot confirm in any possible way. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and give him whatever that high thing is again.
Perfect. You're a chameleon again, Elliot. Oh, now, Dan.
A chameleon, a known cohort of Kraven the Hunter. So there's a little tie-in right there, too. Yeah, Dmitry Smirnikov.
Yeah, he's a little criminal guy with a little hat, right? He wears a little trench coat. So, Dan.
I mean, he does wear a trench coat. I don't know. The hat is not really like a trademark part of him. He's changed his face, but.
Dan, when you're looking to tickle your funny bone, what have you been putting on the old TV?
I feel like I watch things, but I'm looking at like a literal list I keep so that we don't lose track and forget that we're in the middle of like a series or something. And it's pretty sparse here, man.
Well, you said you were going through a big Tosh rewatch,
no.
right?
No, yeah. You know, like here's
that's a later category called late night topical comedy / variety.
I have been watching Mr. Mayor. I wouldn't say I think it has its feet yet. But I have enough faith in like a Tina Fey, Robert Carlock show that our mutual friend Sam Means also worked on, and like it's got Ted Danson and Holly Hunter. Like I figure eventually it's gonna find something.
I'm gonna take a little point there because I'm also watching that, and I think Bobby Moynihan is really great in it. It feels like they're letting him they're taking the handcuffs off him and letting him just go crazy.
Yeah, I think once they figure out that these are maybe not like that the political takes are not necessarily the best on the show, and they should just focus on it as a workplace comedy. I think it'll figure itself out.
Yeah. Oh, I was nervous you were going to say that they should put the handcuffs back on Bobby Moynihan. I'm
he's already served his time, Dan.
I think you're right, Dan. I think the more it covers the workplace and the personalities, the stronger it is.
Yeah.
Although I think it is a time for a TV show that takes down those non-white people who are always trying to keep rich idiots from running the show.
Yep.
So Dan, what do you say? Mr. Mayor is chock full of nuts. Did it make you crack a smile or did it take you to frown town?
Right now it's a good smile cracker. Smile cracker suite.
with the potential of being chock full of nuts. I like it.
So that's a Ritz with just a dab of chocolate on it?
Yep.
Oh, yummy. That's a treat. Well, guys, I've been watching a show that is that's on the same comedy block as Mr. Mayor. That's right. I'm watching Superstore. It's in its final season. It's been pretty consistent. It started off, you know, kind of like an Office clone, and I feel like it's kind of become much more than that. It's got a great cast, and it is also a very pro-organized labor, which is nice. Sure. Or at least in general it is. I mean, I think this current season takes some weird twists, but whatever. All the cast is great. I would say chock full of nuts. Check it out. It's pretty funny. And an impression I will do, Mark McKinney playing the character of Glenn. Okay, guys. Am I a chameleon, a body snatcher, or Madame Tussauds?
I mean, I haven't seen Superstore, but it certainly seems like the kind of character that Mark McKinney could play. He himself is kind of a chameleon. He can do anything, you know.
Yeah. I did give it a shot. Wasn't quite for me. I think that's accurate, though.
Yay! So I'm a chameleon. Baby. Thank you.
Maximum Fun is a network by and for cool, popular people. But did you know it also has an offering designed to appeal to nerds?
A show for nerds? On Maximum Fun, the devil, you say?
It's true. It's called The Greatest Generation, and they review episodes of a television program for nerds called Star Trek. They've reviewed TNG, DS9, and are now reviewing Voyager.
Hey, Star Trek. My daughter enjoys that program.
Well, if she enjoys that, and she enjoys humor of the flatulent variety, might I recommend she subscribe to The Greatest Generation?
Hey, are you calling my kid a nerd? Boy, I oughta...
Well, gotta go! Become a friend of DeSoto by subscribing to The Greatest Generation on MaximumFun.org today!
Does our podcast deep dive into the weirdest Wikipedia pages we can find?
Yes! Do we learn about scam artists, remote islands, horrible mascots, beautiful diseases, and mythical monsters?
Yes, 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 absolutely, and yes. Do we retain any of this knowledge?
Probably not. I'm Emily Heller.
I'm Lisa Hannawalt.
We make art and comedy and TV shows and also the podcast Baby Geniuses. For the past 8 years, we've been trying to learn new things about the world and each other every episode.
But let's be honest, this podcast is mostly about two friends hanging out, shooting the breeze, and making each other laugh. We're horny, we like gardening and horses, and we get real stupid on here.
But like, in a smart way.
Yeah.
Join us every other week on Maximum Fun. Baby Geniuses, tell us something
we don't know. Now, I noticed that Dan did not do an impression of anyone on Mr. Mayor.
That's true. I gave Dan a little bit of extra time to cook one up. Let's see if it's ready to come out of the oven.
So this is mostly, unfortunately, this is mostly a visual impression.
Perfect.
Which doesn't work for the podcast, but I'm going to give you a little bit of Ted Danson, the mayor. Like, here's a little...
Uh-huh.
Okay, Dan's, yeah, he's kind of pointing with his finger.
Uh-huh, yep.
And that is a really good Ted Danson. Yeah. To be honest, that was really good.
Thank you.
You really captured like a Ted Danson mannerism, or Dannerism, as we call it.
Yeah.
That was really good. Yeah, that's chameleon-esque, sure.
Yeah, I love that. Guys, it looks like we have a brief interruption here. We have a mini-game, that's right. A mini-game that I like to call like an ever-flowing stream. That's right. There's so many streaming services out there, and there's so many original programs on those streaming services. I'm going to list the name of a program, and you're going to have to tell me which of the big three streaming services it is an original for. Is it Amazon Prime,
okay,
Netflix, or Hulu? That's right. So the first one, guys, remember, the possible answers
are
Netflix.
Do we buzz in? How do we indicate whether we're...
Just shout it out.
Shout it out.
Just
shout it out.
Real glad, Dan, that you're making sure we have all the mechanics of this BS game.
It's important.
Down.
BS means
I didn't want to be disqualified on a technicality.
It's brilliantly smart. This brilliantly smart game.
Okay,
so... This is the name of the first television program. Is it on Amazon Prime, Netflix, or Hulu? The name is Shut Eye.
Netflix.
Elliot, do you have an answer?
Shutter?
It is on Hulu. Give you bonus points if you can tell me anything about the show.
I think I can.
It's the story. Nope, hold on. It's the story of a guy whose eyes refuse to shut. The title is ironic. All he wants is a little shut eye.
No.
It's loosely based on Nikolai Gogol's The Nose, but they found early audiences did not like the idea of a nose that has a mind of its own, so they changed it to eyes that have minds of their own. And the eyes are voiced by two of the Wayans brothers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Marlon and Damon. Damon's back.
Oh, wow. Jeffrey Donovan's on this.
Yeah, this is the Burn Notice guy, right? And it's like they're like grifters. They're like grifter fortune tellers. But he actually gets like some sort of second sight, I think.
Yep. Good job, Dan. You get some bonus points there. You get a bonus point for knowing that. Okay. So number two. Light as a Feather.
I believe that's one of these.
Is that on Amazon Prime, Netflix, or
I
Hulu?
I think that's one of those Hulu Fright things they did. Those, like, one-off, like, sort of scare things.
I'm going to say Netflix.
Dan, you are right again. It is on Hulu. Two seasons, 26 episodes. Can you tell me? I guess you actually, and you already said, it's a supernatural thriller. Anything else? Can you tell me anything else?
I can't.
I'm going to say Netflix.
Close. Okay. Dan, you're doing pretty well on this, actually. You are a streaming demon. So the final one is this final show going to be on, was it on Netflix, Amazon Prime, or Hulu? The show is called Reprisal.
Crackle.
I'm going to say Amazon because I don't think we've had one of those.
Nope, it's on Hulu. Oh. By the way, guys, this segment, like an ever-flowing stream, is brought to you by Hulu, apparently.
You're giving it away for free.
I know. So, can you tell me anything about Reprisal, Dan?
I assume that someone is taking some sort of revenge for something.
That's true, and that somebody is Abigail Spencer.
Okay.
Okay. Back to the normal game, guys. So,
Elias has this sort of like disbelieving laugh that is one of my favorite. Like, it's sort of like grudging, but also sort of like it's like the laugh version of, okay, I guess that's what we're going with. I mean,
it's basically, I mean, it's the laugh that says, I don't like it, but damn it, I respect
it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh man, I can't believe I tricked Ellie into doing this.
That it's like a made up game show that we were not notified about ahead of time, and that Stuart has set up mini games that have.
Yeah, he really is an insidious game master. Woo. He's
it's one of those things where you're waiting at any moment for Stuart to be like, anyway, that's all, but there's more.
Okay, we're on to the reality television
<Thanks. laughs>
category. Dan, what kind of reality TV are you? You know, it's ever since the Real World took the TV world by storm, reality TV has been
this format is
a big part of
now. Stuart
American
is just auditioning
streets
to be a host at the Emmys.
What am I watching in the reality like zone? Like something I liked that I watched?
Yeah, yeah. Or not.
No, because Stuart, our mutual friends John and Mary, I do like a group watch night with them and Audrey, where we've just been sort of running down reality shows, and you either need something that's really genuinely good or like really like dumb as shit. Like that, those are your sweet spots. Anything in the middle I find kind of unbearable. But I did like Encore on Disney Plus, where they reassemble high school musical casts of real life. You know, like it's like a high school reunion of this cast, and they put the show on after like a week of rehearsal. Mostly playing their old roles when possible. Some episodes are way better than others, but it's a lot of fun.
And by old roles, do you mean like the roles they played as high school, like who they were in high school as opposed to who they were in the performance?
The popular kids, the loser, yeah, the dorks.
No, I meant, obviously, not obviously, I meant their old roles in the show.
But do they fall into their old behaviors as well?
Well, no, I mean, that's the thing about it is like watching it, you see what the experience is. Like when I went back to my high school reunion, I still have this chip on my shoulder, I realized, where I was just like, because I, like every other human in the world, like felt like he had a shitty high school experience, you know, I came back being like, I'll show everyone, and then I'm like, what am I showing them? Like everyone's like really happy to see me. They're all very nice. Like everyone's nice. Everyone like gets past it so much. And like, I think it's mostly like
And Dan Aykroyd didn't show up and try and murder you.
I just liked seeing, like people had sort of like gotten past it mostly. It was like the people who were still hanging on to the high school drama were the most insufferable. Like the worst episodes had people who were like still upset about something that happened to them back then. And it's like, look, that stuff sticks with you. I'm not saying it doesn't, but come on, you have to move past it.
Like, you're on TV, man. Chill out. Just enjoy it.
You know, just sing that song.
But do you think the producers were like getting them all liquored up before they went on to perform in, I don't know, like The Music Man? What shows are they doing?
They did like Godspell was one.
Of course they
Grease.
Did. Yeah.
They did like
Day by Cal- Day.
Yeah. Probably O Calcutta.
Ragtime. I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff.
A night of Spalding Gray and Eric Bogosian monologues.
No, it is all musicals. You got to get the singing in there these days.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, Dan. Well, you're going to have to give me a rating here. Let me just pull up our ratings. Would you say this show is Who Needs Actors? Or if it's on, okay, that's fine. Or What Is Wrong With The World?
It's the real spectrum of human emotion. Yeah, I think, you know, even though I liked it, I think I'll still go with it. If it's on, okay, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, not a bad one. We'll forego impressions on this one since it's going to be, you know, it's a reality show. Elliot, what kind of reality shows are you watching? I'm guessing some kind of a competition where somebody, you know, tries to perform Jeopardy questions and win the day.
I mean, that's just Jeopardy. I mean, I don't know if I call that a reality show. That's a game show.
Are you saying that you're not real?
I mean, but they're not
Elliot?
Like playing. Yeah,
no, that's
dude.
A good. No, that's a good. True. I wasn't playing the character of Elliot Kalin, Jeopardy contestant. I mean, I was, but I was not. I was so focused on my character, and that's why I was so late on the buzzer
you're saying,
constantly.
Only in the sense that we're all playing characters every moment of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That life.
All
you know,
the world's
that
a stage. Uh-huh. Yeah.
All the world's a stage. Exactly. Ironically, as we record this, actually, I haven't seen last night's episode. A friend of mine, as of last week, was the current Jeopardy champion. And each episode, I couldn't help but being petty and be like, well, if that was my episode, I would have won on that one. Like, he's won two episodes in a row by losing less than everyone else when nobody knew the final Jeopardy answer. And both times I was like, I knew that question. I would have won on that.
If I had gotten the category Elliot's favorite pizza toppings, I would have won.
Yeah, pepperoni all the way.
Pepperoni
anyway,
and none. So,
there's a thing called caramelized onions, Dan. I'm not sure you're aware of it.
You do like caramel? No, I'm just I am extrapolating from what I know of your picky eating habits, which
to be fair, I have gotten
way better over the course of the time I've known you.
We all grow up, guys.
Yeah, as I get older, I find my tastes expand in every direction. Musically, food-wise, entertainment-wise, sexually, in every different way. And so I'm just – it's part of growing up is introducing new things into your life.
Yeah.
Speaking of new things, I don't watch reality TV. I don't really like it very much. So the closest I come to reality TV is like – we're big Top Chef viewers in this house, but I think see that more as a competition show. They have kind of filtered out a lot of the reality-ish elements over the years to make it a more respectable show. And so the only thing that really applies otherwise is like finding your roots, because we're big genealogy heads over here. We love finding out who famous people's ancestors were. But otherwise, you know, nothing much.
Well, I'm going to mark down an extra point for myself because I also watch Top Chef. Dan, what about you?
I watched Top Chef when it was on.
Cool.
I guess it's still on. I just, I'm not currently watching Top
Chef.
Did
you guys watch Padma's show?
I did. I liked a lot of it. Yeah.
It was great, right?
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I didn't see the whole season, but I saw most of it and I really liked it. Yeah. The one thing it was one of the things where it was like, I'm not as interested in food as I am in human beings and how they live. So every time they would go into the kitchen to cook something, I'd be like, okay, fine. I don't need to see close-ups of every ingredient. Just tell me more about the people.
It was one of those things where it came out like shortly after the start of the pandemic, right?
Yes, I think so.
And so a lot of the episodes I was like, oh man, I want to go and support that restaurant. And of course we can't. And I'm hoping that they'll be around when, I can go to those towns.
Yeah.
Yeah. On a lighter note, it was nice to see Padma's sillier side on the show sometimes.
That's
true. It was a serious show, yeah. But we got to see her joke around a little bit more. I feel like on Top Chef, sometimes she's in a joking mood. Sometimes she is very much not in a joking mood. And for those contestants, they must just live in fear of what kind of day it's going to be. Because Tom, at this point, is always in a joking mood. He's kind of like the class clown these days. But Padma, you never know whether she's going to be a stern headmistress or the fun teacher who's willing to laugh it up with the students.
Yeah. So, Elliot, would you say watching Top Chef, it made you think, who needs actors? Or if it's on, okay, that's fine. Or what is wrong with the world?
I guess the first one, because I like this show a lot. I've been watching it for years, but it's not like I would want all the shows I watch to be Top Chef. I didn't even want to watch that Top Chef Desserts spinoff, even though I did, you know?
Oh, yeah. Charlene's childhood friend was in, like, the first... Did they do multiple seasons?
Did one season, because that show did not work very well, and there was one episode of that show that was one of the most... one of the most profound hours of television I think I've ever seen, because the way the Top Chef is set up, for people who are not aware, there's a quick fire, quick competition, and then there's an elimination competition later on, and someone is cut from the competition after that. In this episode, during the quick fire, one of the people involved had like a medical emergency and had to be removed from the show, and then during the elimination, they were about to kick off one chef, and then one of the other chefs was like, you know what? This is too much pressure for me. I don't like it. I'm just going to leave the show. I don't really want to do this. And the judges, you could tell, did not know how to handle this. They were like, you did really well. We were going to keep you on. She's like, you know what? This is just not the way I want to spend my time. I just want to focus on my work. And so they're like, okay, I guess we can't kick off two people, and we can't force you to stay here. Like, we don't have the legal power to force you to be in this competition. Yeah. And it was just seeing the judges so at a loss to control their own show. I was like, yeah, that's life. You can't prepare for everything. Like, sometimes things just happen. It hit me on a level that that very few other shows have. But otherwise, it was not a very good show, and it didn't work that well, you know.
Yeah, and didn't one of the hosts, like Johnny Uzzini, turn out to be a creep?
I don't know. I don't really remember.
I think that also helped. I mean, it's not. I don't think it surprised anybody. Okay, yeah. So it's now my turn, of course, guys. Talking about reality TV, I cannot talk about any show other than Catfish. That's right, Catfish.
Okay. You love,
man,
Catfish.
Yep. I watched so much fucking Catfish, and you know, at first I thought it was going to be, you know, the premise of it is these hosts are investigating potential fraudulent internet relationships, whether it's a fake internet relationship that's set up by somebody who's just lonely or if it's a scammer. And at first I thought it was going to be a lot of like gotcha moments and a lot of like laughing at people that, are presenting themselves differently or whatever. But it turns out to be a show where like the hosts are very understanding when, they seem to be very understanding, even when somebody is like clearly lying about who they are and misrepresenting themselves. The hosts are still like trying to help that person get to the bottom of why they have to do that and what's missing in their life. And I find it to be a really charming show. And obviously I watched a ton of it all at once, so it all has blurred together. But there's some really intense episodes. And this most recent season, they managed to do like the quarantine episodes, which unsurprisingly, there's a lot of people catfishing other people.
Yeah, this must be a gold mine era for the catfishers out there, because you never have to meet the person, you know.
Yeah, and I thought that the episodes might not be as good because part of the charm is watching Neve go up to the front door and knock and have to like actually like confront the person. But there's something even more nerve-wracking about knowing that the person is about to, like, when you see the little box and it's like, so-and-so is joining the Zoom call, and you're like, who the fuck is it going to be?
Now, did you start watching it because you thought it was going to be about Catfish or Stevens?
I did, actually. I thought it was, what had happened was I went on my, on Hulu, of course, once again, the sponsor of like an ever-flowing stream. And I had I clicked on Catfish because I thought I was ordering my dinner of Catfish.
Oh, that makes sense.
Hulu?
And Yeah, that was, I mean, you know, who knows what's going on in my head.
To be fair, the name Hulu does not tell you this is a television entertainment service. No, but it could be anything.
Presumably, like, this was not Stuart's first time using Hulu. Maybe it was, I don't know.
We don't know that. But look at it, Netflix, it tells you what you're getting. You're getting a net full of flicks. Amazon Prime, less clear that you'd be getting. It makes you think you're getting meat from South America, which is delicious. They've unfortunately destroyed the rainforest, but the result is grade A beef for the rest of us. But Hulu, what does that even mean?
A net full of flicks makes me think of the time shortly after we reopened the bar for pickup service. I saw actor Michael Shannon walking down the street with a big crazy beard carrying a net full of beers. Like he had just like fished them out of the river. It was really awesome.
I just had an idea for a future mini that I am writing to myself and putting in a sealed email.
Okay,
sealed it because you want to keep the post date on it in case someone tries to steal the idea. You can sue them.
Copyright, baby.
Okay, so I will of course give Catfish the rating of who needs actors, and I will earn some bonus points for myself by doing an impression. That's right. I'll be Neve from the show Catfish. Hello? Hey, this is Neve. I have a show called Catfish. You might have seen it. It's on MTV. Well, I've been talking to Dan. Mm-hmm. You know each other on the internet. I was hoping that we could maybe set up a meet. Do you think that's possible? Scene. So,
very
guys,
well
am
done.
I? Thank you. Now, based on you've never seen the show before, right?
Mm. I saw the movie.
Oh, okay. That also features Neve. The real reason I started watching it is because Neve's co-host for quite a while was this guy Max, the director of the movie We Are Your Friends, which we reviewed on the podcast, and is an acquaintance of my wife Charlene. They went on a study abroad program to St. Petersburg, Russia together.
Well, you should. I wish you had disclosed this conflict of interest at the time. I'm afraid that
and also that your wife is a potential national intelligence threat.
Yeah, we're gonna have to
turn. You made a Russian
talk
asset.
To Flophouse HR about this, but we'll handle that.
I mean, I feel like you should go higher than HR. Now, normally we would touch on the final category here. That
Could I get a bonus point real quick? I'll do my impression of the music they play on Top Chef when the contestants that are on the bottom are waiting to hear how much they screwed up in their dishes.
Yes.
Do 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 do. Okay, that's my impression of that.
Uh-huh. Dan, what are you thinking? Is Elliot a chameleon? Is he a body snatcher or a Madame Tussaud?
I feel like we need some more like musical categories. I'm going to call him. I'll say he's the John Williams of this game.
Wow. Okay, that's I was hoping just to get Bobby McFerrin in this game, but thank you.
Uh-huh,
that's
not bad.
But one of the things I do like about Top Chef is they've been using the same music CD for every season for years, and they almost and every now and then they'll introduce a new song, and I'll be like, new song, and then I'll never hear it again. I'm like, I guess it didn't make friends with the old songs. Like it.
Yeah. So normally we would go into the final category of normally.
This thing we've never done before and we'll never do again.
On the normal episode of Two Boy Talking Tube to Two Dudes Tonight, that's right, we would hit the final category, which is late night topical comedy / variety. But I feel like we'll have to save that for the next episode. Guys, let me tally up the points. Up, it looks like I won. Whoops. Sorry. Whoops. I beat you guys at my own game.
I mean, if that's really an accident, there was
all points.
There was a thing that you could have done to prevent that from happening, but
I mean, it's rare. I will say, in Stewart's defense, it's rare that the host of a show is also a contestant on the show. Not since Win Ben Stein's Money, and even then, Ben Stein wasn't asking the questions when he was answering them during
also,
that round.
Also, I mean, another if we're talking about flawed game mechanics, having us rank our competitors might be a problem, I think.
Yeah,
it's like,
that's true.
It was like that moment on that that game on that show, Instant Hotel, where the owners of Australian Airbnbs stay at each other's Airbnbs and then rank each other. The moment when they realize that not only do they get to rank the person's Airbnb, but the hosts of the Airbnb get to rank the other people as guests. Is the like silliest point scoring thing I've ever seen.
That show is wild.
That
is a show. I usually hate any show that has anything to do with real estate. It stresses me out. But Audrey was watching, like binging this over the course of a day, and it has really, you know, all said and done, very little to do with real estate. Everything to do with how like weird all these people are. And the one person.
Yeah, that first season is so good.
Gives the guests like bad points because like one of them didn't have a margarita or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's totally fair. It's in the rule book.
I feel like I'm miss right now. I'm between seasons on a show, and I am really missing learning about these shows through my coworkers because like I didn't have to watch Love Is Blind because I would just get the update from my coworkers, and I feel like I didn't even know about this hotel show. And if only I had coworkers, they'd be telling me about it every day, and I'd get the fast facts, you know, which would leave time for me to do things like watch Fitzcarraldo, which is how I spent the last few dishwashings.
Well, I guess we're going to do Fitzcarraldo on the Flophouse, guys. The secret's out.
I guess you just teased everybody. Tease the next movie. Well, thanks so much for playing, guys. This has been Flophouse. This has been the Flophouse mini episode. That's right. Two boy talking tube to two dudes tonight. That's right. I'll see you the next time we record but until then, I'll sleep in my grave.
I'm Ellie Kale, and that's Dan McCoy. Not that it's the only flaw with the title, but I feel like the that's right is a little tacked on.
I don't know. I mean, so Elliot, would you say both you guys can answer this. I think I'm ready to open myself up. Would you say the title for this episode was super good? Let's change the official name of the podcast. Is it B, okay, it's fine for a mini, but that's it? Or C, throw it out of there, Jordan, edit this shit out?
Dan, you go first.
I mean, honestly.
Wait. I got to get prepared for this. I'm ready.
Honestly, I think it's super good. The only problem I could foresee with changing the name of our podcast to that is that everyone else would see that there is no better title possible. Then they'll start naming all of their stuff thing. And then at that point, the whole idea of titles is useless.
And now someone walks into a store and is like, I'll have two boys talking to with two guys that tonight, that's right. And they'll be like, do you mean the cereal, the toothpaste, the animal, the movie, the magazine, it's the book. I don't know what you're asking for. The cement brand, the ice brand, the brand of pipe cleaner. I don't know what that Scotch tape, prescription medicine, 5-hour energy. I supplement. I don't
Jordan,
know what it
fade
is.
Fade out here.
Are you asking for the two boy talks to two guys brand of condoms, or are you talking about the chewing gum, or are you talking about those little toys that come in the balls that you get at the grocery store when you put 25 cents in? It's probably 75 cents now. Are you talking about the soda, the energy drink?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.